Welcome to the Lioness Queen podcast, where our motto is all about living residue-free, not allowing the residue from a negative event in your life hinder you from moving forward where God is leading and directing you. Your host, Reverend Dr. Marisha, founder, speaker, author, divorce coach, and licensed minister, provides motivating messages that will help encourage and empower women to live their best life beyond their past and recognize the worth of their crown. Now let's jump into your weekly dose of letting go of the past and living totally residue-free. Here's your host, Reverend Dr. Marisha.
Today is May the 11th, the second Saturday in the month of May. Happy May. Happy Saturday, happy 2024, and happy spring season. That's right, we're almost midway through the year 2024, and I'm like, where is the time going? I don't know about you, but I'm ready for warm weather, and I'm not sure how we had this cold wave that came through, but I'm trying to figure out when's the last time I remember a Mother's Day where we were in the 40s and the 50s, right? And so I just want to say, as this is the day before Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. I pray every mother feels appreciated today. I pray that you will be treated like the queen that you are. And if you are not, then you treat yourself as the queen you are. And I want to send definitely all my hugs and kisses to those women, to those of you whose mom went home to be with the Lord. You know, there's a quote that says, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And God in his word says he will be a mother to the motherless. And so I pray God will fill those empty spaces in your life and help you to feel exceptionally loved on this Mother's Day 2024. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, we've been going through my 12-week workbook. And so I'm going to take a pause this week. I know I've had a hiatus of the past 2 weeks. It's been kind of a busy life for myself with work, but we'll get back on track next week because we have 2 more weeks left in our workbook. Amen. And so again, thank you so much for all of your support of the Lioness Queen podcast. I cannot thank you enough. I'm truly appreciative to have continued with this journey for 4 years, y'all. I can't believe it. It's been 4 years I've been doing this. To God be all the glory. So this week, actually last weekend, I had a speaking engagement and they wanted me to talk about mental health. And I said, you know what, this will be a really good opportunity to share this with my listeners. And so this week's episode is called Nurturing Your Mental Health. Nurturing your mental health. We'll be right back. Well, before we get started, you know how we love doing it on this podcast. We love starting out with a quote or a poem. To get our episode started, we love supporting poets' creativity, and we're so honored to do so. So today, I found a poem that is related to what I'm going to talk about today. And it doesn't have an author, but it was something that I found on the internet. So it says, imagine your mind like a garden. And your thoughts are the seeds. You get to choose what seeds you plant in it. You can plant seeds of positivity, love, and abundance, Or you can plant seeds of negativity, fear, and lack. You can also spend time trying to take care of everyone else's garden, or you can work on making yours beautiful and attract other beautiful people to your garden. Amen. Amen. And so statistically, not sure if you know this or not, but statistically, the National Alliance on Mental Health estimates that nearly 1 in 4 adults, they are living with a diagnosable mental illness. The most popular ones are mental health conditions involve depression, anxiety, and PTSD. And so today, as we're talking about nurturing your mental health, I want you to think of your mind like a garden. Think of your mind like a garden. What does your garden look like now? Does it look unkept? Does it look a hot mess, unorganized, weeds growing everywhere, disease, things are dying in your garden, the grass is growing in places it shouldn't be? Or is your garden well kept? Is it organized? Is it fruitful? Is it colorful? Is it full of beauty? And the one thing I think a lot of us don't understand is we are responsible for our garden. No one else can care for it like you, because God uniquely designed and destined that garden for you. He didn't destine it for anyone else, but you are responsible for that garden. The question is, do you believe you have control over your garden? And some people may think, due to life's challenges, it's kind of hard to control your thoughts, your emotions, and your behaviors. And I believe it's one of the biggest tricks of the enemy for you to deny who you are and the power you have to control and have dominion over your garden. And so what am I saying? I'm saying it's a choice. What are you choosing today? Are you choosing to have control over your garden? Are you just allowing your garden to grow out of control? Right? And so the question is, what are you choosing? Or will you allow the trials of life to take over your garden? Or are you believing in John 16:33, the assurance God gives us all? And so I would want to talk about three things. What is really required to take care of your garden? And that's three things. You have to attend to it, you have to nurture it, and you have to maintain it. So when I talk about attending, let's go to number one, attending. We have to identify, what is the state of your garden? What is the state of your mind right now? Is it organized? Is it bright? Is it flourishing, growing, full of life? Or is it unkept? Growing out of control, bare, dry, dull, full of weeds, disease, and dying. What does your garden look like at the moment? What does it look like? All the things I shared about the difference between those two gardens, what does your mind exhibit right now? And so I want you to think about this. Think about, recognize your thoughts, your emotions, and your behaviors. And when you're attending to your garden, this is where you start. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I doing? Are there triggers? Are there stressors? Right? You're thinking about all of these different things, right? Another thing we have to do to attend to our garden. What type of soil? What type of soil does your garden have? And so there's a direct connection that all begins with the seeds planted in your garden, especially when the seeds are not positive, right? Negative seeds are self-defeating. Self-defeating thoughts defer to self-defeating and self-critical beliefs that hinder your personal growth, hinder your well-being and success. And they're often characterized by self-doubt, fear of failure, and persistent negative self-talk. And so unfortunately, we do not realize that our self-defeating thoughts lead to self-defeating emotions. They lead to self-defeating behaviors. And this is how our garden gets out of whack, out of control, full of weeds, and stumps stumps our spiritual growth. And so I was talking about the soil. So this is where we try to understand, what type of soil do we have? What is the condition of your soil? If your garden, if you have a garden, right, it is important to ensure, right, that your soil has the right balance of nutrients, pH levels, drainage for the plants you're growing, right? And consider using compost. You know, this is what some people use, compost. I don't necessarily have a green thumb in the garden, but I do have a lot of plants, right? And so there are certain things that you can add that can enrich the soil. And so we all know about the sower and the seed, right? We know about that in Matthew 13, right? We know about the wayward soil, the rocky soil, the thorny, bushy soil, the fertile soil. And so the condition of your soil determines what you decide to grow in your garden, what you decide to grow in your mind. Are there seeds being planted and they can't go deep because there's so much stuff that is blocking it from going in? Are the seeds going in? And because of the trauma, because of the trials of life, you reject those seeds and push them back so they can't really get deep enough to really penetrate your heart or your mind, should I say? So these are all things that you would do when you attend to your garden. The second thing we have to do is nurture. This takes a lot of time, y'all. Nurturing our garden takes a lot of time. Your mind needs to be nurtured. And so I want to talk about 7 tips to nurture your garden. The first thing is you got to prioritize yourself. You got to learn how to set boundaries for yourself. You got to learn how to make you first. Know your values. Know your needs. Your garden has limits and in what it can handle and what it can't. And so before you can set boundaries, you need to know what matters to you and prioritize yourself first. Your time is limited, but it's also a valuable resource. And if you try to please everyone, you not only purchase a one-way ticket to burnout and resentment, but you also deny yourself the pleasure and growth of focusing on what you value. And so we have to be intentional with our time, especially as mothers, as we're approaching Mother's Day. We always put everyone first. And I do know it is that innate nature that we have, that God has given us, that man doesn't necessarily have, but he's given it to us because we are mothers. But in the same regard, on the flip side, right, it can be to our demise because we don't put ourselves first and we put others first. So setting boundaries and prioritizing your garden is all about recognizing your unique needs and developing practices and habits to honor them. Don't get me wrong. This can feel challenging and even maybe even selfish, right? Especially if you're not used to getting your needs met. But it is the antidote to stress, anxiety, depression, and burnout. So it's worth the practice and it's worth the dedication. And so the best way to support the well-being of others is by prioritizing yourself first. Number 2. We got to plant the right seeds. You got to plant the right seeds. We got to stand up to negative self-talk, which plants bad seeds, right? What have you been telling yourself that is stopping your garden from growing? What monologue seeds have you been planting about your life, your situation, your relationships, your body, your hair, your skin, your career, your children? Sadly, the biggest bully that most of us face is staring us straight in the mirror. We overgeneralize. We jump to conclusions without facts. We exaggerate a situation when there's no evidence. We discount the positive. We blame or personalize things that are our fault. Notice when you're beating up on yourself, interrupt those thoughts by, right, saying, stop, tell those thoughts to stop and then say something kind to yourself. Replace that negative self-talk with declaring the word over your life, scriptures over your life, affirmations over your life. Number three, third way you can nurture your garden is you got to have pest control. You can't do this by yourself, right? And so the question is, what pests have destroyed your garden? John 16:33, Jesus gives us an assurance, which is a positive declaration intended to give confidence, a promise to have hope. He has already overcome every pest that will ever step foot in your garden. Overcome is present tense. So no matter what pests creep in your mind, Jesus is the answer. You have pest control and his name is Jesus. But if you do not nurture your garden to believe in the promise Jesus made for you, then you will go through life not realizing or not utilizing an active agent who's already overcome for you. And see, past trauma is one of our biggest pest threats that causes us to try to fight the pest on our own. And we fail to realize that we have pest control that was already paid for you, for me. Say this to yourself: I need to take preventative measures because the pest control was already paid for. And if that don't make you happy, I'm telling you, it makes me happy because we have pest control. Amen. And I'm telling you, when we don't activate that pest control, right, we start cycling through what ifs and if only. And those are, exhausting and anxiety inducing, right? And so the antidote to being stuck in a sea of repetitive thoughts is meditating on God's word. It builds the muscle of concentration so that we can refocus our mind on God's word over our lives instead of focusing on the trials of life. You know, everything is centered on what you are focusing on. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Philippians 4:8 says, what our gardens should meditate on. It talks about what they should meditate on. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. So the next time these dandelions, well, they look pretty, but they're really a weed. Next time these dandelions start popping up in your life, God has already given us what we should meditate on. Things that are true. What is true? Things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, and good report. Number four, the fourth thing to help you nurture your garden. Your garden needs sunlight. You know, all plants require light for photosynthesis, right? And so the process within a plant that converts light, oxygen, and water into carbohydrates is called energy. Plants require this energy in order to grow, bloom, and absorb the necessary seeds. I'm going to say those three things again. I really want you to get those. Grow, bloom, and absorb seeds. And so without adequate sunlight, carbohydrates cannot be manufactured, right? And so the energy reserves are depleted and plants die. But isn't that something? Think about that. Isn't that something? We are just like plants. We need energy. We need energy. Our gardens need sunlight, and our sunlight is being in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Just like plants, we have to draw our energy from God, who is the light of the world. His light gives us hope, joy, peace, love, and assurance that he will help us to grow, bloom, and absorb the necessary seeds. But the most important thing, his sunlight endues us, right, with these four things. When you're in his presence, he gives us companionship because we're never alone. When you're in his presence, he can endue you with a confidence to stare down any giant. When you're in his presence, he counsels us and gives us the best advice that any man can. And lastly, when we're in his presence, he knows how to comfort us when we're hurt, when we're in pain, or when we lost a loved one. Number five, the fifth thing that helps nurture our garden is your garden needs water. Your garden cannot survive without water. It is essential to check in with ourselves when we spend a lot of time in front of screens, as we easily become disconnected from the body and what our body needs. Our bodies cannot even survive without water. We need to learn how to water ourselves. The question is, do you even know what type of water you need? Some people have never done the love language test. And the love language test determines, you figure out how you need to be loved. Or should I say how you need to be watered? And many of us don't even know how we need to be watered, right? The question is, it could be simple as speaking kindly to yourself, loving yourself, taking breaks when needed, engaging in activities that you enjoy. You know, other self-love habits, practicing gratitude, spending time in nature, eating nourishing foods. I would say eating food, period, for me, because that brings me so much happiness. I'm a foodie, y'all. I'm a foodie. And I'm going to tell you, it's like a high for me. If I have really good food, it's like I am on the best drugs ever. Woo! Exercising, right? In a way that feels good to your body. So you need to know what type of water you need for yourself. And if you don't know it, unfortunately, you accept the water from somebody else, and it's the wrong water for you. And the reason why a lot of us women do that is because we don't know what water we need for ourselves. So learn what water do you need for yourself, so you know how to water yourself, and you teach people how to water you. Amen. Number six, the sixth way to nurture your garden. You got to move your body. You know, your garden needs exercise. We were born to move, yet we so often find ourselves in front of screens day and night. The drain of the screen does little to inspire movement. So it's important to pre-plan opportunities to walk, dance, stretch, or exercise. All of which can do just great things for the body, reduce anxiety, depression, decrease stress, increase confidence, better sleep, and boost your mood. Number seven, lastly, ask for help. When life gets difficult, it's a common tendency to retreat, which can lead to isolation. One thing that I'm pretty sure of is God did not intend for us to be isolated. He is a relatable God. And he intended for us to be relatable and to be around other people. We are not meant to travel through hard times alone, but unfortunately, oftentimes pride gets in the way. Our pride, because we don't want other people to see that we don't have it all together. We don't want other people to see our flaws. We don't want other people to see what we're struggling with, our bad habits. But it's important to reach out for support from trusted loved ones and mental health practitioners. We need church and therapy. They both go hand in hand. You have that spiritual well-being, but you got that mental well-being. And sometimes you need a mental health professional to help lend and lead and help guide you to your truth. not their truth, because the answer is already in you. It is your truth. They're just trying to help you figure out the answer, because it's so buried under all of your trauma. It's so buried under all of the things that you've gone through, right? And so there's help if you need it. If you do not know how to manage your garden, seek it today. The last thing we have to do is we have to maintain our garden. We got to maintain it. And maintaining, I would say, it's just like maintaining your weight. It's not the easiest thing to do. Maintaining our weight. But I tell you what, sometimes with our garden, when we see things that are going in the wrong direction, we see things that are growing uncontrollably, pruning is important, right? And so sometimes we have to cut negative habits and people from out of our life. We got to trim, you know, and with plants in general, you got to trim and prune plants as needed to promote healthy growth and shape. We got to remove dead and diseased branches, flowers, leaves to prevent the spread of disease and encourage new growth. And sometimes that's what we need to do out of our lives. We got to prune some people. We got to prune some bad habits. And sometimes when you don't prune, God will prune. And when he prunes, sometimes it's more devastating, right? When you already knew. But when God does it, it's like snatching a Band-Aid off real fast. But it's necessary for growth. Say that to yourself. It's necessary for growth. Also, with maintaining your garden, you need fertilizer. God's word promotes spiritual growth. You need the word of God in your life. It's the only way we grow. It's the only way we get better. It's the only way we're able to maintain our garden. Amen. He's already given us everything we need. He doesn't need to give us anything else, because everything is in his word. And then we need to observe and make adjustments. We got to pay attention to how are plants growing in our garden. Do we need to adjust the care routine, right? Do we need to change our watering frequency, adjusting the fertilizer application, relocating plants to get more sunlight? Sometimes we got to make adjustments, because sometimes plants, their growth can be stumped. And you got to try to observe and make adjustments to figure out what's going on. What's going on? No different than us. We got to figure out what is going on. And so my question for you is, what does God want you to grow, bloom, and absorb? What does he want you to grow, bloom, and absorb? And so Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit. This is what he wants us to grow, bloom, and absorb. The spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who are in Christ are distinguished from unbelievers, and that they have been gifted with the Holy Spirit, enabling them to bear fruit. What fruit are you growing today? Or what fruit did you stop growing? Because you allowed the pests to come up and grow and take over your garden. And so I just want to leave you, just to remind you with some takeaways. You got to have good soil. You got to have good seeds, positive seeds. You got to speak positivity over your life. You got to have sunlight. You got to be in his presence. Because when you're in his presence, you're not paying attention to nothing else. You got to prune some people out of your life. Sometimes you got to go all the way back and identify, what is the problem? What is going on in my garden? You got to learn how to water yourself. What type of water do you need? Pest control, we have the best pest control ever, and his name is Jesus. And he can come in whatever form we need him to come in. Fertilizer. We have to fertilize our mind with God's word. And lastly, ask for help. You don't have to do this alone. You don't have to do this alone. And so I want to leave you with this last short poem. And it says, your mind is a garden. Your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. Take every thought captive. Amen. Amen. I could not have made it this far without all of your support from the Lioness Queen podcast. Please, please share this podcast and complete a review. I would absolutely love to hear from you. Until next time, let's all be open for the doors that God has prepared in 2024. Amen and amen. Thank you.